Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this seventh Sunday of Easter is our gospel lesson from John chapter 17, our Lord Jesus' prayer, John chapter 17, beginning at the first verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, rather literally rendered, the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, starting at verse 10, a tower of strength is the name of the Lord. Into it a righteous person will turn, and they are safely set on high. Now, the wealth of a rich person is the city of their strength, like a wall safely set on high in their imagination. Before a crash, the heart of a man will be high, but before honor must come humility. Our Lord Jesus prayed a prayer in John chapter 17. He prayed two things. He prayed, first of all, that you and I be kept in the faith. And he prayed that we be one with one another as brothers and sisters, one until the time we are done. But looking back at Proverbs chapter 18, the tower of strength is the name of the Lord. What is a name for? Well, a name is a way to identify someone. We put on name tags with people we're unfamiliar with. A name is a way to single somebody out. When you watch a movie, there's a whole ton of names at the end that are the credits that show who was involved in making the picture. But above all, a name is a way to call out to somebody. And so Proverbs chapter 18, a Christian's tower of strength, what sets you on high safely is the name of the Lord. And what do? With his name? You call upon it. Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will honor me. 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious about anything, but how does it go? In everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. A tower of strength is the name of the Lord. Call on the Lord. Look to the Lord. Of course, you can look elsewhere. You can call elsewhere. Proverbs chapter 18 mentions other towers of safety. It mentions a wealthy person whose wealth is their safe place, whose wealth is their high wall. But then it says, it's their high wall in their imagination. Before a crash, the heart of a person will be high and lifted up. But it doesn't just have to be wealth. That's the obvious one. It can be other things that set your heart on high. Your heart can be set on high because you're so smart. You're so intelligent. You got everything figured out. Your heart can be set on high because of your life experience. Your heart can be set on high because of your standing among people and that you're a recognized person. Your heart can be set on high because of your expertise. Your heart can be set on high because of your talent. Your heart can be set on high because of your strength of mind, your strength of body. And your heart can be set on high because of your good looks. But again, before a crash, the heart of a person will be high. You have only to think of King Solomon in the Bible. King Solomon, by the giving of God, by the blessing of God, was startlingly wise. When he began to speak, people's jaws dropped. The Queen of Sheba, she was no dummy herself. When she came to see him, she was left speechless, the Bible says to us. Solomon was so wise, so insightful. He had such understanding. And yet, he fell into the greatest foolishness that there is. He had a great crash, possibly the biggest crash in the Bible. He was seduced by his almost unlimited wealth and unlimited power and unlimited intelligence. And also, too, we're told, his many wives that he collected led him astray. Why can't I worship my God? Why won't you go to my church? Why won't you follow after me? You don't love me. You don't care about me. And so what did he do? He went with them. He fell away from the Lord. And there was a great crash. Now, if even Solomon could fall away from the Lord, what about the likes of you and the likes of me? You know, there is in our fellowship hall a picture of the likes of you and the likes of me. Now, don't think about our wall that's got the photographs on it. That's too obvious. Go down just a little bit in the fellowship hall, and you will see a picture there of Da Vinci's The Last Supper. And if you look at it, and you will look at it closely, it presents a very interesting scene. Now, I am not an art interpretation person, but just looking at it, I will tell you what I saw. What I saw was in the middle of the picture is who? Our Lord Jesus. And he's there pointing to two things. This is my body. This is my blood. Because in the upper room, he instituted the Lord's Supper. But on either side of him are his disciples. Some are over here, some are over there. Some are looking his way, some are not looking his way. Some are listening, some aren't listening. Some are holding private conversations, almost like they're debating what he's having to say. And it's very chaotic. It's a chaotic painting. All of this motion and commotion and all of this action and distraction. And then at the center is our Lord Jesus, calmly and quietly giving the gifts of his body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Today's lesson, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Looking this way, looking that way, talking about this, talking about that. What's the center of the picture? Where do you look? Where do you turn? Where do you put your trust? Where do you call out? You call out to your Lord. Da Vinci had it right. He hit the nail on the head because if you listen to the Bible accounts of the Last Supper, what you will see is a chaotic scene. You see Jesus warning his disciples that they would soon be scattered and they would leave him by himself. You see that he warned the most vocal of the disciples, the one that our church is named after, that before the rooster crowed, he would deny Jesus three times. And then the Lord Jesus had to respond when they popped up with questions that they should have known the answers to, and he had to pause while they interrupted him with foolish requests, and then he had to listen while they bragged about how loyal they were and how faithful they were, and how even if everybody else fell away, Lord, I'll stick with you. And you got to wonder, this is the crew that the Lord's going to go with? This is the outfit that the Lord's going to send out into the world to bring his message of salvation? This is the group. Of course, we could say the same thing looking around us today. This is the outfit. This is the crew. We could say the same thing looking in the mirror, every single one of us. All of this motion and commotion and all of this action and distraction and all the questions we should have known the answers to and the foolish plans and the dumb requests, and we're so confident in good times and we despair so much in bad times. This is the crew. This is the outfit. No wonder our Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 prayed. No wonder he prayed and he called upon his Father. He called upon his Father for those disciples, and he called upon his Father for us disciples, for you and for me, because a tower of strength is the name of the Lord. Into it the righteous person will turn and is safely set on high. One thing you got to keep clear from today's lesson, this is eternal life, that we might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you know the Lord Jesus, then you trust him. If you know your Heavenly Father, then you trust him. And if you know, trust your Lord Jesus and you trust your Heavenly Father, you have eternal life. And if you don't know the Lord, you don't trust the Lord, what do you have? What do you have now? And what do you have forever? And so, on the night of the Lord, Last Supper, our Lord Jesus did something that you and I needed. He called on his Father, and this is what he said. He said, "Father, I'm no longer in the world, but these ones are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, number one, keep them in your name that you have given to me, in order that they may be, number two, one, just as we are. Keep them in your name. Keep them in the faith that saves and gives eternal life. Because if you don't have that, what do you have? And not only keep them in the faith, but let them be one as my people. Because if we don't have that, what do we have? What do we have?" Now, pressures from the outside world can drive us away from the Lord. Our own sinfulness can drive us away from the Lord, and our own sinfulness can drive us away from each other. You know how it is in church. We get proud, and our feelings get offended, and we get frustrated because we want things to go a certain way, and they don't go a certain way. Or we demand too much that things should be a certain way, and there's jealousies, and there's retaliations, and many a church has been messed up by that. Many churches should have done well, and they should have been places of rest and hope for the people of God, and they didn't end up being that way. And Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me, and let them be one, just as we are one." Our Lord Jesus prayed that, and he still does. Book of Romans chapter 8 tells us Jesus Christ is the one who died, he's the one who was raised, and he is the one who is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Still praying on your behalf, still praying on my behalf, and that's a good thing. Because why do you pray? You pray because without the good Lord, you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere good. You pray because if you don't have the good Lord, what do you have? And so our Lord prays too. Prays for us, prays for you, prays for me. Two things, very straightforward, very simple. That you and I be kept in the faith, and that we be one until the time that we're done. Until the time that we're done here and go to be with him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. and our Savior. Amen.